Book of Mark, chapter 4 of the book of Mark. You know, the Bible talks about a lot of different parables that Christ referred to. And I wasn't for sure what the definition of a parable was. And I asked Janice, I'm not too smart on the English end of it. Well, I ain't too smart on anything else either, but especially the English end of it, spelling of it. She wasn't for sure. She gave me an idea, and I asked my son-in-law, Paul. And I don't know how smart he is. Sometimes I wonder about the smartness of my daughter, you know. But anyway, he gave me a definition. She's giving me that look, Brother Eddie. She gave me that look. She taught that look from her mother, though. You know, her mother, she gave her that look. She gives me that look still. But anyway, and Paul gave this definition, and Janice agreed with that. And said, a story that teaches a principle of human life. Now, maybe that's so-so. I don't know. Y'all theologians and all this other stuff might have a little different definition. But I'll tell you what. The Lord spoke a lot of parables. Amen. In the New Testament, didn't He? And each one of them, He had a physical or a human spiritual meaning behind it. And so tonight, the Lord willing, and when Brother Wayne asked me, well, I've had this message on my mind for the last several weeks. And I've preached it before, and I got to thinking about it. And then as Brother Wayne called me and asked me the other day if he was going to be here, and he said, will you preach for us? And I said, well, sure. Well, this message became more earnest to me as far as finding it and bringing it tonight. And tonight I want to bring a message about a parable. Now, you say, well, I've already heard all the stories in the Bible about the parables. Well, that may be so. But the parable that I'm going to bring tonight is not in the Bible. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So, I'm going to use Scripture, by the way. But I'm going to bring you a parable about the automobile. Anybody here got automobiles? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of us, the little guys probably, well, they may have little cars or trucks or whatever, but we've all, of any age that have our license, have driven some kind of a vehicle. Car, van, truck, maybe an 18-wheeler. I know one in here has anyway. And I've driven one a little bit, so there's two. But tonight, I hope and pray that I can be a blessing to you, be an encouragement to you. Brother Rogue talked about holiness tonight. In one sense, we're going to be talking about holiness as well. And some things that you and I in our lives, we ought to do. And take care of ourselves just like we take care of an automobile, you see. Chapter 4 of the book of Mark and verse number 30. The Bible says, and He said, this is Christ, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh mightier than all herbs, and shooteth forth great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake He the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake He not unto them, and when they were alone, He expounded all things to His disciples. Let's pray. Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Your word tonight. God, I come and pray as someone that is trying to stand up here tonight and bring Your word, hopefully in a way that You would want it brought. And Father, I pray tonight that You just give me the grace to proclaim it in a way that would be pleasing to You, that would honor Your name, praise Your name, and would edify my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray tonight that, Lord, You might use it as well upon those that do not know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Show them their lost condition. I pray for grace in their lives that they'd repent and accept Christ as their personal Savior. And I pray tonight, Father, again for your blessings upon the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Verse number 34 again, it says, "But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." In the parables that Jesus spoke, the people that was around him, a lot of them, probably if not most of them, did not know what he was talking about. For the simple reason that he was talking in a language that lost people could not understand. And isn't that the way it is in our lives today? When we talk to people about Christ, and when we talk to people about God and the sovereignty of God and salvation in Christ, most of them don't have any idea what you're talking about, because they're not God's children. But then when God comes in, or the Holy Spirit comes in and quickens their souls and shows them their lost condition, and they repent of their sin and repent of being a sinner and trust Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible says they become a child of the King. Right then and there. Just a snap of a finger in a sense. And they're able to start to understand the Word of God better than, well, they're being able to understand the Word of God, which they never was able to do before. And then God shows us the truth concerning the church. That's a marvelous truth, isn't it? Marvelous truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21 that He receives glory in His church. The Bible says that He died for His church in Ephesians chapter 5. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says He purchased the church with His blood. Amen. Brother Rick, are you saying the Baptists are the only ones saved? Nope. But at the time of the reading of the Scripture, most of those people that were saved were members of the church at Jerusalem, in my thinking anyway. Amen, and it was a Baptist church. Amen. Now Nicodemus, we don't have any recollection of him ever being baptized, but I do believe he was saved. Thief on the cross, I believe was saved, but he never was a member of the church. But it gives reference time and again about Jesus dying for His church, purchasing the church with His blood. And the parables that He talks about, in most cases, if not all cases, was to His church. And so tonight, Lord willing, I want to talk about the parable of the automobile. First thing we'd like to bring out is everyone, every car, every truck, every vehicle that we drive has a maker. Somebody made that vehicle. The tractors, even that, I know Brother Cecil's got at least one tractor. Some of the rest of you might have tractors. Every vehicle was made by someone. And you and I were made by God. By God. Book of Job, turn over there if you will, chapter 35. And I've got several verses of Scripture that I'm going to read, and so bear with me here and stay with me if you will. I know you will. Chapter 35 of the book of Job, and I want to start reading verse number 10. Man was made by God. By the way, and I'm not, if you're interested in this, there's a little track or pamphlet or whatever you want to call it over here on the table that we have written. It's called Where Did We Come From? Why Are We Here? And Where Are We Going? And there's a few of them laying over here. Brother Wayne helped me with this and getting it set up and everything. So if you're interested in reading one and taking one of them, read it, that's fine. Pass it on. Do whatever you want to. If you want to start a fire, it's pretty cold outside. If you want to start a kindling fire with it, go ahead and do that too. But read it first. You might get a blessing out of it. But here in Job chapter 35, verse number 11, notice what it says, or verse 10. The Bible says, "But none saith, where is God my Maker? Who giveth songs in the night?" Now notice verse 11. "Who teaches us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than all the fowls of heaven." That's God. He maketh us wiser than all the fowls of heaven. Go to Psalms, if you will, chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95. The Bible gives us another reference here, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1 and read through the rest of the chapter. Or read through verse 8, excuse me. The Bible says, "And come, Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And in His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed a dry land. O come, and let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And doesn't that tell us that God made us? That God made all things? Verse 6, it says, O come, and let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, notice people, you folks that are lost, listen to this next verse. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. People, listen to me. God is the Maker of all things. I have no problem believing that. I'm a creationist from the word go. God can take, as Raul said, He made Him out of a little bit of dust. I'll tell you what, He made Him, looking at Him now, must have been a big ball of dust or mud, you see. He's a pretty good sized lad. He's not big as I am. But the thing about it is, God made Him. God made me. God made you all. That's one of the parables of the automobile. Somebody had to make it. Somebody made us, you see. We find in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, not going to turn there for the sake of time, that God created. Well, let's turn over there. Chapter 1 and verse 27. Let's read it. Chapter 1 and verse 27. Chapter 1 and verse 27. You know, by the way, when we get a car from the factory or a vehicle from the factory, a new one, we may get what we call a lemon. You ever got any of those new ones from the factory? Yeah. Yeah, all of us have probably. If we've had very many new cars, we've probably had it. Or we may have a used one that was a lemon. But here's the thing. When man makes something, he may make a lemon. But when God makes something, God don't make a lemon. And when He formed man out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says in verse number 27, and so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, and male and female created He them. I mean, the Bible says they were without sin. I'm here to tell you today, I believe going back to the car, if God had created that first car, and there hadn't been sin upon the earth, I think that car would probably still be running today. You talk about a good vehicle. That's a long time. 6,000 years ago, according to Brother Wing's time chart. God does not make lemons. Isn't that great? That's wonderful, isn't it? I'm glad. When He made man, He made him in the image of God, and in the image of God created He him. Verse number 31. I love it. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Man can't get any better than that. What God does, He does it perfectly. He does it perfectly. He sent the only one person that has ever been perfect down upon this earth to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin. God's a great God. God's a God of grace. I thank God for that God of grace.
Amen.
When God made man, as we said, He made him in His image. Did God mess things up? We know the story. We messed them up ourselves, or Adam did, and we followed suit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that. Quickly turn there if you will. Chapter 5 in the book of Romans. Verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." For all have sinned. You know, going back to the car can't repair itself if it's a lemon. The car can't repair itself if there's parts that break. The car can't do anything by itself.
Right.
And I'm comparing the car to you and I. And I want to ask you tonight, folks, can you and I do anything outside of the grace of God? Do you see where I'm coming from? About the car and Rick Cat. We can't repair ourselves. When you work on that car, and many of you here tonight has, you may replace an alternator, you may replace a radiator, you may replace tires. Hard telling what you may do to that vehicle that you work on. To make it running, to make it a better vehicle than it was. But you got to go in there and work on that car. You got to go in there and replace something. What happened to you and I when we got saved? What did God do? He gave us a new heart. He made us a new creature. He replaced some old parts in my spirit and made my spirit whole. Made my spirit perfect. Oh my. And you know, when He done that, when He made my spirit perfect and I became that new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, there's old things that have passed away. New things have come about, Rick Cat. And you know what some of them were? I quit smoking. I quit drinking. My dress changed a little bit. My clothes changed. I never did wear a dress, but my clothes changed a little bit. My language changed a little bit. It got repaired, Brother Wayne.
Amen.
I became a new creature. It was put on a new part upon me, you see. Ain't that great? Christ repaired me. Christ made me where I could stand one of these days in the presence of God. Holy, as Brother Roll mentioned. Acceptable in God's presence because of what Jesus has done. Wow. Wow. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Got ready to have a spell. By God's grace, folks, you're saved tonight and I am. By God's grace. Going on. Well, you know, a car, if you take it out on the road, you don't have any coolant in it. It don't get very far, does it? If you ain't got something to keep that motor cool, you're going to mess around and burn it up. You're going to blow the radiator up. And you know, in our lives, it's the same way. We need a coolant. And folks, if we're saved, what do we have? The living water. We have the living water, something that'll cool us. Something that'll cool us. Turn with me over to the book of John, if you will, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. I hope tonight that this will be a blessing, be an encouragement to you. Help you to maybe stop and think about some things and maybe be encouraged by what you see in your life, how God is blessing you and helping you. In verse number 10 of chapter 4, the Bible says here, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, and from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Amen. "Which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle." Notice what Jesus says. "And he answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." He's talking about the water from Jacob's well now. "And whosoever," verse 14, "and whoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Oh. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Isn't that great? The living water that saved people have within them is a water that is everlasting. That's the reason I believe in the security of the believer. Amen. What Christ did, He did it perfect. Ain't no question about it. Ain't no question about it. Many people today don't believe that. Oh, I believe I can lose my salvation. Well, the Bible says if you work for your salvation, that's the same thing as working in the law and doing the law. And the Bible says that people aren't saved by the law, but they're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ into that living water. Galatians chapter 5. What shows forth that living water, Brother Rick? I'm going to show you right here, if you will. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. We mentioned a while ago about the temperature of that automobile. If it doesn't have any coolant, getting hot, burning up, blowing up perhaps. And you know, if a saved person doesn't have that coolant, their temperature might raise. Their temper might raise. We might have some problems with that, don't we? Or won't we? If we're falling short of serving the Lord, if we're backslidden, and you know, it don't take long to do that either. Just a matter of seconds. But if that cooling is not there, that temperature, that temper of ours, it gets kind of high anyway sometimes if we're not careful, doesn't it? But here in these two verses, in verse 23 and verse 20, well, let's read the rest of the chapter. They're starting in verse 22. This is fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, and against such there is no law. Most time people stop right there with those two verses, but you read the rest, the other two verses, other three verses, and I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to us. And they, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Now, Earl talked about being holy there a while ago. That's what he's talking about right here. We crucify these things. We put them to death. We leave them alone. We put them in the ditch or in the hole and cover them up. Verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Give that testimony of being a Christian or a saved person. We may work out in the world, folks, but we don't have to be of the world. Don't have to be of the world. That holiness is so true. So true. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. How many Christians or how many pastors that are running a church attendance, maybe 25 or 30, that maybe talking to a preacher that his church is running maybe 50 or 60, and the guy that's got the smaller church gets jealous because he don't have that much in attendance. There may be reasons behind that, you see. Or the person that maybe is running 50 to 60 talks to the person maybe running 200 or so or better and gets jealous because his church isn't doing as well as what the other church is. Folks, listen. I've been guilty of that. I confess. It's sin when we do that. Don't let our tempers, don't let our lust get the best of us, you see. Let's go on. How about the right kind of fuel? Huh? How about the right kind of fuel? An automobile or a truck, or whatever the case may be, we may use premium, we may use regular, we may use lead-free, and they're basically the same, I guess, nowadays. Some may use diesel. Some may use E85 to keep our cars running and our trucks running. But what keeps our spirit running? We need fuel for it as well. Need fuel for it. You know what that is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Turn over to Psalms, if you will, 119. Psalms 119. I'll tell you what. If you've never read this psalm, just got 176 verses in it. Longest chapter in the Bible. But I'll tell you, it's full of good stuff.
Amen.
Good stuff. And I'll tell you what, it may take you a while to read it, but that's okay. It talks about, as I said, good stuff. It talks about the Word of God. Start in chapter, or verse 9 to start with. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. By seeing what the Word of God says, by opening up, by reading it, by studying it, and then by living by it. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 41. Let thy miracles come unto me, O God, even thy salvation according to thy word. Let me ask you a question. Is there any other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? No. That's Acts 4:12, by the way. No other way under heaven. And so if you're lost there tonight and you're trying to think of a way to get to heaven outside of Christ, you better change your mind because you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. And I don't mean to be mean and ornery in saying that. I'm just trying to be honest with y'all. Christ is the only way. Christ, and how many different beliefs are there tonight in the world that says, oh, Christ is not the only way. Christ is the only way. Christ is the only way. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word hath quickened me. You like that? How many times in our afflictions have we read the Word of God and we just had, I think Brother Wayne last night or this morning or somebody may mention sometime, may refer to the verse over in Philippians chapter 4, and I think verse 7, where it says we can have a peace that passeth all understanding. Even in our afflictions. That's the fuel that we're talking about. Verse 103. The Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, and yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through thy precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Isn't it precious? That's the Word of God. That's God's Word. Folks, He's given it to us. We're in a problem. And I didn't know this until just the other day, but you folks that are Independence are studying through the book of Proverbs. We started a few weeks ago there at Julian studying through the book of Proverbs. And one of my members told me just the other night, he said, I love that book of Proverbs. He said, there's so much stuff in that book of Proverbs. And so if you've never read through the book of Proverbs, please read through it and you'll be blessed. It's a golden apple book, by the way. Golden apple book. So we need fuel. Now, you go back to the old car or the old truck, once in a while it may get a little water in that gas or that diesel. Don't run too good, does it? Sometimes don't even want to start. And isn't that about the way we are? When we don't get into God's Word. We may cough and spit and sputter and kind of back up a little. Not me, man. I ain't going to do nothing. But when we're close to the Lord and when we're in the Word of God and God speaks to us and God shows us in His Word and it says, thus saith the Lord, isn't it time for us to stop our thinking and just hear what the Word says to us? Because it's fuel for the soul. It's fuel for the soul now. Let's go on. How about some headlights? Cars need headlights, don't they? So do we. We need headlights spiritually. Psalms 119, verse 105. We've already read it, but let me read it again while we're there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It'll guide us in the direction that we ought to go according to the way God wants us to go. We don't have to open the commentaries up. As Brother Riddick was talking about lunch, he was talking to a man some time ago, and that man said, I've read 300 books about a certain subject. And Brother Riddick, his Bible was there on his desk, and he held it up and said, well, He said, I've read one. Man, you can't get any better than this one. Oh, by the way, that's King James, right? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Can't get any better than this book right before us. But how many times in our lives do we want to take somebody else's thoughts rather than take what the Scripture tells us and says to us? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? It's like not as Roel preached. Again, I said these messages go similar to one another. How people today want to go out and say, it's okay, look what the world is doing, it's all right, this is 2007. How wrong can we be, folks? The Bible says it, and that settles it. Period. Going on. Headlights. We talked about that. Proverbs chapter 6, if you will. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible says, "The commandment, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life." So folks, when we were at home and our daddy would get after us or our mama would get after us and maybe use a switch or a paddle or twist our ear a little bit or whatever the situation would be, they're doing it for our benefit. Because the Bible says what? For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and the reproofs of instruction are a way of life. So when God gets a hold of us, it may be because that's the way of life. He has to show us. Sometimes we're too bullheaded and too stupid and too ignorant to hear what He has to say, so He has to get that two-by and whop us on the side of the head to get our attention. That don't feel good. Don't feel good. But sometimes God has to do it. How about the radio and the antenna? Keeps us updated, you know, on what's going on in the cars. Keeps us updated. Jeremiah chapter 1, if you will. Let's go to chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. I'm trying to speed up here a little bit. You say, you've been doing that all ever since you got up there. Well, okay. Chapter 11 of Jeremiah, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." Whoa! "Which I command thee, or command your fathers, in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them, obeying to all, or according to all which I command thee. And so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God." Listen to what God says. We have that radio and that antenna to listen to the music and listen. Some of it ain't too good of music, but to listen to some music and to hear the weather reports and to hear the news and on we could go. Folks, when we're saved, we open up the Word of God and we listen to what the Word of God says. Because it's for our benefit to know what's going on. The parable of the automobile. We need them antennas, don't we? We need them radios to help us. Oh, how about need of oil? You know, we check that dipstick every once in a while to see how much oil is in our vehicles. We need to check our spiritual dipstick as well to see how much oil we have in it, in our spirit. If I understand right, the Holy Spirit it is referred to oil in the Scriptures. Now, I may be wrong on that. If I am, forgive me. But there's things that is comparable, a comparison. And if I understand right, oil is one of them as to the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Over the book of John, if you will, chapter 14. That car, that trucker, vehicle needs that oil to keep him blowing up. It needs to be lubricated. It needs to be protected. The same way in our Christian lives. That Holy Spirit needs to be there to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to understand. Chapter 14 of the book of John. The Bible tells us in verse number 17, notice what it says. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit, folks, as saved people, is dwelling right inside of us right now. That's what the Scripture just told us. In chapter 16 of the same book, in verse number 13, the Bible reads these words. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's our guide, isn't it? He teaches us. He helps us to understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will, in verse 17, the Bible says that He dwells within us, as we have already read. In chapter 3 and verse 17, let me read that verse real quick. The Bible says here, if any man defy the temple of God, that's in verse 17, that's okay, I'm right. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? I get my words out here in a minute. Going on. How about the exhaust system? We need an exhaust system. I've been around some vehicles when the exhaust system has been bad. Boy, you talk about stink. Whoa. I mean, it's almost like a hog lot out there. And I'm sure most of us understand a little bit. Brother Riddick, being from Arkansas, he understands about a hog lot. I guess Brother Wayne's from there, though. Brother Cecil's from there. Their spouses are from there. Anybody else from Arkansas? Older people? Some of you young people are. No, I better leave that alone, hadn't I? Psalms 39, verse 1. Notice what it says about exhaust systems. The car needs them. Vehicle needs them, doesn't it? Verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth for a bridle unto the wicked, or while the wicked is before me. Folks, how many times do we pop off when we should keep quiet? How many times does our mouth get us in so much trouble? The Bible says it's a little vessel that can't be controlled. Well, I'll tell you what. If we've got that lubrication oil in our system, if we've got the Word of God that's our gas or that's our fuel, then we're going to be able to control it a lot better, aren't we? And that exhaust system isn't going to be a bad one, or as bad, but it'll be a better one. It'll be a better one. And then the last thing. Well, let me see what I've got something written down here. Okay. All right. Galatians back over there in chapter 5. We read it a while ago. We're going to close with these thoughts. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you tonight and preach to you. I pray that this message will be a blessing to you. I've thought about it and prayed about it, and I feel this is what I needed to preach. And Bible tells me it won't return void, so we'll go for that and let the Lord take care of the situation. Chapter 5 of Galatians again, and let's read those first two verses, 22 and 23, those two verses. The fruit of the Spirit. Don't ever, folks, if you're saved, don't ever forget what the fruit of the Spirit is. Because that's what shows forth our Christianity or our salvation. Hey, we can profess to be saved, but if we go back up and we live like the world or have the works of the flesh as it talks about in the preceding verses, that's not going to be a testimony, is it? Not of a saved person. It'll be a testimony of the world, but it won't be a testimony of the saved. But here in verse 22, it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine of them, I think, is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I love that rest of that verse. Against such there is no law. No law. Think on these things. Think about the parable of the automobile. Lord talked a lot about him. Not that one necessarily. There wasn't no automobiles then. But he talked about a lot about parables and how they compare to our lives. And so tonight as we close, do we have the coolant that makes us who we ought to be as a saved person? Do we have the right kind of fuel that we ought to have as a saved person? Does our light shine forth as a saved person's light ought to shine? Do we hear the Word of God when the Word of God is preached to us? Do we have that oil in our spirit, our salvation? You know, sometimes people get kind of cranky. And it goes back to the oil thing, and I didn't bring this out. But if when you run out of oil in your vehicle, don't take very long for that vehicle to lock up on you, right? And if we don't have oil, the Holy Spirit, inside of us, and living like we ought to, Brother Wayne may get up and preach something, or Brother Riddick, or Brother Sean, and boy, I tell you something, somebody really get cranked up about what you said, right? Might really get upset at you. Might really get burned up, burned out. And I mean, come after you after services and just waylay you with words, and because their oil is gone or low. That's terrible, isn't it? Mine's been there. Mine's been there. But it all comes through the same thing. Being saved, studying the Word of God, and living for Jesus. So many people today don't want to live for Jesus. They've got too much of the world and not enough Jesus. That would be a better way to put it, I guess. Thank you for the opportunity. Brother Wayne.